I don't have a Hey Barb joke, so let us pray. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time and this message. We place them both into your hands, and we ask that whatever is from you, let it stay in our hearts and bless us. And whatever is not from you, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I really don't have a title for today's message. Instead, I picked two related references from the Bible. And these references give us some insight into how we as Christians exercise our freedom, particularly freedom of speech or our freedom to respond. And I'm going to share some of my thoughts on these verses. The first reference is from 1 Peter 2:23, and it is related to how we respond to certain situations. The second is from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. This reference is not so much related to responding, but it is nevertheless an action from our side. So reading the first reference from 1 Peter, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Now, to provide some context to the above verse, before this verse, Peter is talking about slaves and submission to masters and how Christ set an example. I'll just read from verse 18 onwards. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And then for the rest of the chapter, Peter continues to quote Isaiah chapter 53. Now, from the above verses that we read, especially verse 23, there are many characteristics of Jesus for us to learn. Patience, humility, meekness, submission, and all that is very good. But there is one point that really struck my heart when I was reading this verse. And that point is the sort of passive action on Jesus' part when he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Now, the New Living Translation has slightly different wording on that. It says, he left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Now, though the context of this verse is about slaves and masters, I think the principle of applying Christ's response or lack of response can be used when we are faced with similar situations. And I couldn't help but thinking what a wise choice Jesus made to entrust himself or leave his case to the one who judges justly. So instead of taking matters into his own hands, and Jesus kept silent when insulted and persecuted, and in his silence, he passed the matter over to God by simply refusing to take any action in self-defense. And he did this not because he did not have the power, not because God did not know, and not because he himself was not God and could have judged them himself. Instead, Christ was setting an example for us. And he left them, that is his persecutors, to God's judgment or mercy. And this is a very interesting line I came across while looking through some of the commentaries when I was researching this verse. It says, he left them to God's judgment or mercy. Though the verse does not use the word mercy, but knowing Christ and his character and what he said when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them. To us it may seem, or we might think that, you know, when we hand our case over to God, we want God to, you know, you show them God. but knowing Christ and his nature, I know that he left them to God's mercy. And for God to be merciful to them, that is forgiving them. And then from this verse, you know, kind of dissecting the verse, what I learned is that every time we are faced with threats or situations, we have two options. One is either we entrust our case to God like what Christ did, Or we ourselves take up the case and we retaliate or respond to the other person. And in doing so, we dangerously forego God's fair judgment, and instead we entrust ourselves to the other person's possibly unfair judgment. Generally not a wise thing to do. From when I saw this verse, this was sometime last year, and when I had written it down in my diary, I tried to look at these situations as more like a contract, like a sale, where there is a seller and there is a buyer. Now, when a person is selling something, the sale is only completed when the buyer pays the amount and accepts the goods that is being sold. Now, without the buyer, the sale is incomplete or the contract is incomplete. There is no deal over there. And I applied that similar concept over here also. So when, like, for example, someone from on the road is, you know, showing you some unexpected gestures or hurling insults at you. So when you respond in a similar manner, you're completing the transaction over there. And instead, what we learn from this verse from Peter is, just hand over your case to God and leave him to God's mercy or judgment. And so on similar lines, considering the following scenarios, there may be instances like the one I just said where we don't have to respond, but we sometimes do because it is out of habit or, you know, our pride has been hurt. And these are the situations we should try to or strive to diligently evaluate. And we have to remember that, you know, do we really want this other person to judge us? Do we really want to entrust our case to the other person, or just leave it to God for God's judgment or mercy? And then even if we choose to do this, like whether it is a coworker or another driver on the road, whatever we do, there is no guarantee they will judge justly because they are not God. And at these times, we, like Jesus, we should entrust ourselves or hand over our case to God. But before we do, we should see to it that we ourselves are guiltless in the matter for which we are reproached or accused. Because looking back at the verses, Peter says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. And then he entrusted himself to God. And then looking at another scenario, sometimes it is necessary to get into an argument. Sometimes it is required of us to respond to someone's insult or accusation. We may have no other way, or we may have tried for a long time and we are not anymore as steadfast as Christ. For example, I know Kevin and some of us, many other people who have an online ministry, and in this online ministry where we are talking to people or responding to people who could be other believers or just people in their initial, let's say, who are still milk drinkers, who might say some things that may not be some things that require a response for us, and we do this and we respond to them to build them up. We don't just ignore it, thinking, you know, let God take care of it. We fulfill our part as mature believers. And these are the situations where we respond. Now one might consider a third scenario also, where you say you're arguing with your spouse, and I would say, just be mindful of what is in your wife's hand, or or be aware of what is within her reach. and the general advice is to stay silent and not say anything, not respond at all. But now that we have seen the situations where we must, let us look at the how we should respond. And this brings us to our second reference, that is Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Here, Paul is saying, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Now, throughout Romans chapter 14, the chapter before this, Paul is talking about mature believers eating meat and having drinks, and how we should conduct ourselves in front of believers who are not so mature. So this particularly, and when he comes to chapter 15, and this verse particularly refers to opinions about meats and drinks. But again, I'm taking the principle and applying it to Christian conduct in general. So this denoting that we are not to make our own happiness or gratification the standard of our conduct, but are to seek the welfare of others, especially a weaker believer. Now, reading this passage again, similar to 1 Peter, I thought of instances where we are hurt by what some people do or people say. And in such situations, it is very easy for us to either retaliate or give a shrewd reply. Now, retaliation is definitely not the Christian thing to do. Now, giving a shrewd reply would maybe prove a point or point out that the other person is wrong or make it evident that they crossed the line. Though this may not necessarily hurt the person as much as a retaliation, it is still what I feel is not the Christian thing to do, because our words are not building the other person. Our reply may give us peace, but this peace is more out of winning the argument, which is not necessarily from God. So looking at the verse, each of us should please our neighbor for their own good to build them up. It's similar to what Paul wrote to his letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So we should act or respond in a way that builds our neighbor for their good. And when we say for their good, it's not just empty praises to, you know, say something and get it over with, but instead we should strive to build them while speaking the truth. So build them up speaking the truth. Coming to the third verse, for even Christ did not please himself. Now, from the Gospels, and we all know that if there was anyone who had the right to please himself, it was Christ. And even he did not do that. If we look throughout the Gospels, the Lord again and again, he denounced the hypocrisy and unbelief of the Pharisees. And he never did this out of hatred. He never did this to destroy the other person's image or character. But it was more a language of prophetic warning and done with love. Though he could have responded shrewdly, and every time he was faced with a question, we see the wise replies that he gave, and it could have been even wiser, and that would, you know, totally destroy the other person. But he did not, because his mission here was to build the other person spiritually. So finishing up today's message, I would like to stress how the above two references that we just looked at go beyond eating meat, drinking, or just arguing with someone. They give us insight into Christ's character and attitude towards dealing with people both outside and within the church. The idea that I'm trying to present here is that of practicing showing genuine, loving, and practical consideration for other believers and exhibiting a Christ-like character for being a light to the world, where the mature believer refrains from exercising liberty in ways that might offend the conscience of a less mature believer. So, in closing, I would like to read the following verses from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.